Genesis 19. Genesis chapter 19. We're going to look at the story of Lot tonight. Very confusing and some levels a disturbing story, but I think we can learn something from it tonight that would help us in our life. Genesis chapter 19, verse number 1. There came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into my servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your way." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. And before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out to us, that we may know them." And that's not, they didn't mean say hello. It's a, for lack of a better word, they wanted to rape the men. Verse 6, and Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. These men were angels, of course. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And after reading the story we just read, I think we know why. And Lot went out and spake to his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you again for this evening. We pray, Lord, as we look at this story, that you would just share some thoughts, some things that might help us in our life. Be with us and still our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Keep your hand in Genesis and turn over to 2 Peter briefly. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. We're going to read 5 verses here that go along with this story. It's a New Testament commentary on the life of Lot here. And I want us to read this. It'll be part of our story. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Says in verse 4 of chapter 2 of 2 Peter, "For if God spared not the angels that sin, and cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example to those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation, conversation means lifestyle, of the wicked. For that righteous man, now that's hard to believe after what we just read, but I'm going to take the Bible's word for it here. But that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day. This is the sad story of the end of Lot, of Lot's life. Not towards the end, but the end of his good life. He started off right. He started off with his uncle Abraham. He was raised by Abraham. And they were fine, and he was doing well as long as he was Abraham. And then he started to prosper. Abraham started to prosper. They had servants, they had cattle, and so forth. And it began to be too much for them to live together. And so their servants or their workers were having strife. And Abraham said, "Look, it's probably better we don't have strife. Why don't you choose? You go one way, I'll go the other." And Lot made a bad decision. He looked and chose a plain that just so happened to be in the direction or toward Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't go straight into Sodom at that time, but he got into that land which was leading in that direction. Bible tells us that he pitched his tent toward Sodom. That's the path he chose. And that path led him downward. It caused him to change and change not for the good. He may have had a little of Sodom in his heart maybe already before he ever moved out of his Uncle Abraham's area. I don't know that, but I do know eventually he was living in Sodom personally. He started dwelling in Sodom, and then it's obvious from the verses that we read that Sodom started dwelling in him. As we saw in Peter, it's hard to imagine if you hear the things that he offered, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, that he was actually considered righteous, called righteous in the New Testament. Now that he's righteous practically. In other words, when we're saved, all of our sins are forgiven. And in God's sight, practically, positionally speaking, we are righteous in Jesus Christ. But how we are on this earth could be a different story if we're not careful. We're supposed to be righteous on this earth in the way we act as we are righteous in the Lord because of our salvation. But that was not the case with Lot. All of us are changing one way or another. You see, in this life, we don't really cruise. There's no spiritual autopilot. We are either growing and changing for the better as we continue our walk with the Lord and as we grow in our faith, or we are starting a downward spiral, which will cause us to change in a way that is not good for us. Nobody is standing still. But I want you to see, like in Lot's life, when he changed, that there were some consequences. There were some things that happened to him that were not good. The direction that we are going has consequences. If the direction of our life is going forward and it's going the way that God would want us to go, there will be good consequences because we will continue to grow in our faith and experience the blessings of God and the joy of the Lord in our life. But if we've turned and we're starting to go the wrong direction, there are some consequences at the end of that road too. Many times you can't tell where a person is at on the spiritual level, which way a person's going based on the spiritual level they're at. In fact, I could imagine there's some people we would look at and say, on the spiritual level, wow, those people are up there and I'm down here. But yet it might be in the sight of God because they're up there, but they're heading downward and you're down here and you're heading upward. You might be in the sight of God growing much faster and much better than they are. It's a matter of direction. Which way are you growing? Over the course of years, I've seen many Christians who had one at one time had grown in their faith and grown in their life, and they were doing well, and something happened. Something caused them, or maybe it was, as we mentioned this morning, they weren't careful with temptation, and some things get in their life, and it causes them to turn and start going in the wrong direction. They start to change. Now, not change for the good. It's always exciting when someone trusts the Lord and they get saved and God starts to work in their life and they're growing and they're making changes in their life for the good. They look back at their life 6 months ago and they'll say, wow, I'm not the same person I was 6 months ago. This is exciting. This is great. But yet the opposite, if we're not careful, is true. We could be starting going downhill and things will not be good. As we look at the story of Lot, he lost some things because he started to change. These are things you and I can also lose if we start to change. You say, well, you know, I think I've experienced a little bit, and I think I've changed a little, and maybe I'm not going the right direction, but I don't sense anything happening in my life. Can I just tell you something? It's going to happen. If the Bible is true, it's going to happen. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. That bill is going to come due. So what do? Let's be careful. What did Lot lose? I want to just share several things with you. First of all, Lot lost his security because he changed. Look at verse 4 of Genesis again. But it says in verse 4, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said, where are the men which came to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And that's what they're trying to do is horrible. It's despicable. It's beyond comprehension. But that's what was going to happen. You see, Lot had moved into the city. Now he was dwelling there. And now the men come to the house of Lot and they demand that they give them these men. They did not know they were angels, but they just know they wanted to perpetrate some horrific act at them. That's how bad Sodom was. When you say, why in the world would God destroy two cities like that? Because this kind of stuff was going on. By the way, notice it was people from all ages and all different parts of the city that were involved in this. It was pretty bad. But here was Lot thinking, I'm dwelling in Sodom and everything seems to be okay. And now they're at his door. Now they're banging his door down. Things aren't good anymore. When we think of our homes or where we dwell, we think of it as a place of security, but not in Sodom. With that kind of stuff going on, there was nowhere he could be in Sodom that would keep him secure. The drama is at his door. You know, when we serve the Lord and we're going to the Lord, there's a certain security that comes with that. There's a security with being in Christ. There's a security that there are some things that we don't have to experience that others who do not know Jesus Christ will experience. I think of some of you that grew up in Christian homes and you know, that's just all that you've known. And sometimes if you're not careful, you start to look at it out at others and say, well, I wonder what's outside the door. I wonder what it's like to live that kind of life. And by the way, Satan is a liar. He'll only show you what you think are the good parts of that. I can tell you something. There is no good parts. We fall for the glitz and the glitter, but as I mentioned this morning, we don't see the hook in the frying pan in the action. But there's a security that comes in Jesus Christ. And sometimes Satan comes and says, well, if you live for Christ, you're missing out on a lot of things. I'm going to be honest with you. Yes, you are. But you're missing out on all the things you ought to miss out on. You're missing out on all the things that bring pain and bring consequences that could be horrific in your life. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22 says, there is no peace, saith the Lord unto the wicked. Just so we get it, he says later on in the same book in chapter 58 and verse 20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dearth. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Here comes a person and they've accepted Christ and their life before was a bunch of drama or maybe a bunch of garbage. And now their life is calmed down and they're experiencing the security that there is in Jesus Christ. And when they turn around and they change and they start going back the wrong direction, all that's coming back. It's coming back because there's security in Jesus Christ. Lot found out that night that When you dwell in Sodom, eventually it's going to come due. He lost his security. Secondly, he lost his sanctification. Look at verse 6 and 7. Verse 6, and Lot went out of the door unto them and shut the door after them. So here they are, they come, they want to do all this wicked garbage, and he says, you know, I'll slip out and I'll talk to these guys. I think I can change their mind. By the way, it's not going to work out. Verse 7, and he said, I pray you, brethren. Let's just linger there for a minute. I pray you, brethren. Huh. Do not so wickedly. You know, what's disturbing about this is that he calls these men his brethren. Those aren't my brethren. And if you don't like this, that's fine. We'll all get over it eventually. What goes on downtown Long Beach in May, that's not my brethren down there. The stuff they are allowed to do because they're celebrating a wicked lifestyle, and the police will do nothing, and they do stuff in public that if heterosexuals did that, would go to jail. Thought I'd throw that out. Do you hate people? I don't hate anybody, but they're not my brethren. He felt comfortable mixing them in. Listen, that type of wickedness shouldn't be a part of our life. How can someone with a spiritual life of 5%? I mean, I'm not talking about these guys were out there and they were just drinking. They were asking to do something that was horrible. Horrible. And he's going to help them because, after all, they're his brethren. Has he lost his spiritual mind? Yes. When we start to lose our spiritual discernment, we start to be comfortable. Now listen to this. We start to be comfortable with having that which is wrong side by side with that which is right. In fact, we'll intermix the two together, and we don't see a problem with it. That's what happens when you start to go back. You see, when I started to go forward, as I started to walk, I started to realize some of the things that were in my life, and I'm like, that's not good. That can't coexist with what God wants me to be. That can't coexist with the direction which I want to go, so therefore, I have to get that out. But see, when we start going back the other direction, we start bringing it in. But see, we don't want to completely kick God out, so we'll kind of just mingle the two together. You don't have that option. I don't have that option. Let's look at some verses, shall we? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. What does the Bible say about this? Well, let's see. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's look at verse 14. Second Corinthians 6, 14. It says this, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We're not hooked up with them. By the way, you have some girl who says, you know, I met this guy, and he's not a Christian, but he's a good guy. I think I should date him. Don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. But I prayed about it, and I feel God wants me with this guy. Don't be unequally yoked with the unbeliever. You don't pray about something God specifically says. Okay? If you're praying and God tells you in your prayer to do something that's against the Bible, whoever answered you wasn't God. It was probably just in your own mind. Okay? You know? We're real good. I saw a sign. You know? I was driving down the road and I saw a sign and I saw his name on a billboard. That must be God's calling. You know what that is? That's a coincidence. It's not God's calling. Okay, it's like the guy that says, you know, I want to figure out what God wants me to do. So he opened the Bible and just stuck his finger in it and said, and Judas went and hung himself. He said, well, that's not right. Let me try it again. And he opened it up to another verse. He stuck his finger there and opened his eyes and says, go and do thou likewise. And he goes, no, that's not right. So he opened the Bible and stuck his finger again and the verse came up, what thou doest, do quickly. Okay, that's not how you find God's will. All right? It's very clear here in the Bible that God says there's a difference between right and wrong. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? That's a rhetorical question. He's not waiting for an answer. The answer is, duh, none. What communion hath light with darkness? None. Darkness will either cancel out light or light cancels out darkness. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Evil. None. What part hath he with believeth with an infidel? None. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? None. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'm not saying we get away from people that maybe aren't Christians, and we you're a horrible person. No, but we shouldn't be spending time with them. We shouldn't be getting involved with things that are wrong, but when we start going backwards on the pedestal and we're changing the wrong way, we start to mingle the two together. That's very dangerous. We don't have to be like the world to reach the world. Fact of the matter, if we're like the world, we're not reaching the world. We're just bringing them in, and we're having a good time together in the world. If you're reaching them, you're reaching them from something. We're reaching them from what they're in. We live in times when right and wrong are mixed and no one notices it. I've mentioned this before, but just so you understand, all these Bible movies that are coming out, oh, the world's getting so much better. After all, they have Bible movies at the movies. Revival's coming. And some churches are like, what a good thing, man. People will be open to questions now. What? By teaching them false? Noah's Ark and Exodus, not Ezra, just Exodus, okay? There's a new one coming out. I saw this report. I thought we'd throw this in. This would be good. This one's going to be about the Apostle Paul. Paul will be played by a man named Hugh Jackman. I don't know who Hugh Jackman is. He's going to play the Apostle Paul. I wonder what Hugh Jackman believes. Well, he told us. Here's what he said. I just find the evangelical church too, well, restrictive. But the school of practical philosophy is non-confrontational. That's where he goes. We don't confront people with the truth. We believe there are many forms of scripture. Now listen to this. What is true and will never change, whether it's in the Bible or Shakespeare. He puts the Bible on par with Shakespeare. It's about oneness. Its basic philosophy is this. If Buddha and Krishna and Christ were all at a dinner table together, they wouldn't be arguing. They'd just be eating food and getting along with one another. Because after all, one truth doesn't trump another. But you know what's going to happen whenever this dumb movie comes out? Christians are going to run and say, that's good. That's the Bible. By a pagan? This one gets me too. This is good. There was an actress, and her name is Vanessa Hudgens. Now, I don't know who she is. I did research. She used to be on Brother Joseph's favorite movie, High School Musical. We were hammering that many years ago. That's how come we know it. Brother Joseph wasn't watching it. It was actually Brother Pineda. But I guess she's all grown up now. She's an actress, but she claims to be a Christian and love Jesus. By the way, she credits her spirituality to a very popular church, which I wouldn't go to or give the time of day. It's called Hillsong. Some of you listen to their music. Shame on you. I just throw that out. Hillsong. Shame on you. Some of you know their music, and it's garbage. They don't even believe in salvation, by the way. You might want to check their doctrinal statement. I'm a Christian. What do they believe? I know what they believe, and it's not Christian. If somebody believes what they believe and put their eternal destiny in what that pastor says, they're going to end up in hell someday, and that's tragic. It's very tragic. That's why we stay with the Bible. We're not trying to be mean, but it's like, how tragic when someone believes something that's not true. But here's what she says. Hillsong helped her. She says she loves Jesus. But she lives with a man whom she is not married to. And she likes New Age and pagan forms of spirituality. She likes crystals and dream catchers and all kinds of nonsense. Here's a little phrase I'll throw out there. She says, I'm a definite hippie. I'm literally my happiest self when I'm dancing half naked on a grass field listening to Led Zeppelin. But see, people are going to run and say, she's a Christian. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I didn't dance around half naked in grass, Brother Pineda, but I did like Led Zeppelin before I was saved. And can I just tell you something? There was nothing holy about it, Brother Pichardo. There was nothing right about it, whatever. It was bad. In fact, and I'm confessing my sin here, when I was in junior high, my sister got tickets to a Led Zeppelin concert, and her friend backed out, and she took me with her. The first one I ever been to, man. There was a bunch of godless stuff happening there. There was nobody there loving Jesus. There was a lot of other stuff going on. But see, what we do is, she's comfortable because of the type of Christianity Hillsong and other Christians are espousing to say, I love Jesus and I love this garbage over here. By the way, just to throw this out here, not to get into a rock concert debate, but the lead guitarist, Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin, he bought a castle of a famous Aleister McCrawley, a famous witch, warlock. That's how much he's into Satanism. But here we have someone say, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, and I want to dance half naked in the grass and listen to Led Zeppelin. Maybe it's just me, maybe I'm old-fashioned. Those two things don't go together. That kind of Christianity happens when we're going the wrong direction. We see things that are wrong, and we want to just mix it in with that which is right. Look, the book of Judges, the one story where the son steals the mother's money and he comes back and she's cursing him and she's cursing and then she's praising the Lord the next voice. It's like those two things don't go together. But see, when we're not spiritually discerning and we're going the wrong direction, we just blend the two together. Are you with me? I just think we ought to just judge everything by one thing. What does the scripture say? If someone says they're a Christian, I don't expect them to be perfect, but there ought to be a little bit of witness to that fact. It's not dancing half naked and listening to Led Zeppelin. Thought I'd throw that out. I could go on and on. Somebody we knew, they wanted to go to church, and they went to some church in Orange County. The opening choir song, the opening song wasn't a choir, Brother Pineda, it was Pink Floyd's The Wall. That was their opening song in church. Now, I'll be honest with you, as a teenager, I probably wouldn't went there. Now, I'm thankful I didn't, because I might have got caught up in something that was wrong, and I probably never would have got saved. I'm glad when I was a teenager, I did go to the church. They didn't open with Pink Floyd, The Wall. Okay? You know what they opened with? They opened with some gospel songs, and they preached the Bible, and they told me I needed to trust Christ, and God convicted my heart, and I trusted Christ. I'm glad they did that. I'm glad they stuck with the Bible. But that's what's going on. Anyhow, let's move on, shall we? Because time's getting away from us. And I don't even know what to do with point number three, but I'll just say, let me just throw out there. You know what else? You lose your sanity. I don't even know where to go here with this. I don't. Verse 8, behold now, so the guys want to rape the men that are in his house. So here's Lot's solution to the problem. I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray thee, bring them out to you and do to them as good in your eyes. Okay, really? I don't know where to go there. I just don't know where to go. Now, I'm just thinking, okay, maybe I'm missing something, you know, in the customs and context of the Bible. So let me just see what some other people said. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe Lot wasn't that off. He is. The only thing I could give him, maybe he thought that they would say no. Maybe he thought, I don't know, brother. I just can't fathom that. As a father, you'd have to kill me first. I don't get it, Brother Pichardo. It makes zero sense that a father would offer that. The only thing I can say is he lost his sanity. He's nuts. That's not who he really was when he was with Abraham. Abraham would have cut some heads off. Abraham would have said, if you're coming in, you're trying to do that, we're not going down without a fight. Here's Lot. You know, these men, I don't want you to touch these men. Why don't you take my daughters? I don't get it. What's the point behind that? And I'm not trying to go too overboard with it. I don't think anybody in here would ever do that if we got away from God. But there is a point. Whenever we get away from God, we could end up doing some things we never thought we would do. And by the way, I hesitate to say things like that because I don't want you to get the idea if you get away from God, you're gonna get hit by a truck. You may. It's probably because you're not looking both ways when you're crossing the street. But you know what? On the other hand, I don't want to not say anything because you could. You could. Sometimes people, you're too sensational. You make it sound like if everybody backslides, they're going to get divorced, and they're going to murder their daughter, and they're going to do this stuff. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying this. Some have. I don't understand it. I don't understand how he could say, take my daughters. What is that all about? I know people I went to school with. They were in the ministry. And some of the things they got involved with is horrific. I know of men who were pastors who left their wife for another man, not another woman. I don't fathom that. I know people that were in our church and they were good people and doing well and they got away from God. And not this happens every time, but I'm just saying, now they're divorced, they're away from their families, all kinds of bad things are happening. I'm just giving a warning out there. When we start going the wrong direction, we should be careful because now we're getting away from God and we don't know what can happen once we're away from God. Because we get away from the truth of the scripture and all this other stuff gets in our mind. I'm just telling us, you know what? Why don't we just be careful? Sin does have consequences. And one of the consequences is sometimes we get out of control. There was when I was in Bible college, there was one particular church in Michigan. Great guy, great pastor, great preacher. Sent all these students to Bible college. Guys from his church were getting saved, going into the ministry, doing a great job. And that was in the early 80s. I left there. Pastor and I and somebody else went back to pastor school in 1990. And they had a testimony from a man. It was that pastor. What had happened is that he became an alcoholic. He lost his church. He lost his wife. He lost his family. Now, thank God he was given a testimony how someone reached out to him and helped him reconnect with God. And God had changed his life and cleaned him up. Thank God for that. But as I sat there, I thought, as a good man, how did that happen? He started to fade away from God a little bit. And when that happened, he didn't ever think that that would happen, but it could. I'm just saying, why don't we be careful? Because maybe we'll get involved with things we never, ever thought. I heard this story. This blows me away. And again, I'm not telling you this story to scare you into thinking you're going to do this. But I don't know how many of you remember in the 70s, there was a man in New York City called the Son of Sam. Sam Berkowitz. Anybody remember that? He was a serial killer in New York City. I read this story. I was reading a book, and I read the pastor. There was a guy named Billingsley, and he was a pastor in Ohio. When this kid, Sam Berkowitz, was a teenager, he got saved in that church. He became a bus captain. He went to his pastor and said, I want to be a bus captain. He filled his bus up. Had to go back and say, give me another bus. Was just serving in the church and something happened in his life and he got bitter about something and he started getting away from God. And almost like this is too hard to believe that Lot would do that, he ended up becoming a serial killer. Now I'm not saying you're going to be a serial killer. I hope you understand the point I'm making. The point I'm making is once we start down a slippery slope, we don't know how far that slope's going to take us down. So you know what the best thing to do is? Let's just stay on the right path. We may not kill anybody, but you know what? That joy we had in our marriage, that might disappear. The relationship we have with our children and our children are going down the right path, that might take a turn for the worse. So let's be very careful. We lose our sanity. I'll hurry here. We lose our safety. That's almost like security, so we won't spend much time on this. In verse 9, we see the men reject his offer. So you know what they do? They come after him. And we talked about that, so we won't mention much, but I do want to get to this next point, even though we're late. Statement. He lost his statement. Look at verse 14. This is sad. Lot went out. To give you the story, if you remember, the angels basically pulled Lot in. They gave all the men blindness. I find it interesting that these men, these rapists, they even though they had blindness, they still tried to get into the door. Bible says they wearied themselves. They wouldn't give up. They were that evil. But afterwards, the angels say, listen, you need to get your family out of here. God's going to destroy this place, and he sent us in to pull you and your family out. So he has his wife there, and he has his two daughters. By the way, I wonder what his daughters think of daddy now. But he goes out to his son-in-law. So he had obviously other daughters who were married. Then he goes to his son-in-laws in verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. So he goes to his son-in-laws and say, listen, I have a message from God. There's some angels at my house, and they're telling me God's going to destroy the city. We need to get you out of here so you don't get destroyed. And they're like, Lot's messing around. He was so far from God and never talked about God, so they thought, that's not who he really is. He's messing around. He's mocking. But guess what happened? They didn't go. The only ones that went were his two daughters that lived at home and his wife and himself. His testimony was in shambles. It was ruin, and he saw the results in the life of those who were around him. How tragic that is. You see, if I choose to go down the wrong path, it not only has consequences for me, it has consequences for my wife, it has consequences for my children, and now it would probably have consequences for my grandchildren, for my whole family. Best case scenario, it might start taxing our relationships, because I find that the closer we are to God, the better the relationships we have are going to be. It helps us. But he lost them. You say, well, he didn't lose everybody, Brother Myers. He got his wife and he got his two daughters. Hey, how'd that turn out? Let me tell you how that turned out. The angel said, don't turn back and look. If you turn back and look when the city's being destroyed, you're going to be turned into a pillar of salt. Guess who looked back? His wife. And we're not going to say anything about that. His wife, because of probably the testimony, she believed enough to leave the city, but not enough to believe that if I look back, I'm going to be turned into salt. And her life was snuffed out. So he lost his daughters and sons-in-laws who were married in the city. He lost his wife. And then I don't even want to tell you what happened with the daughters. They're living in a cave because they're afraid. And the daughters are like, we're never going to get a husband. We need to have children here. And so they got their dad pregnant and slept with him, and they both got pregnant by their father. You say, what horrible girls though they were. Well, let's think about it. You guys can have my daughters. They've never been with a guy. I wonder what kind of seed he planted in their mind. You see, it has consequences. I can choose to say, you know what? I'm tired of this God stuff. I'm going to start going the other direction. I'm going to go to Hillsong so I can dance half naked in the grass and listen to Led Zeppelin again. I just thought I'd throw that in. I go this way. It has consequences. I have a family. I have a wife and I have children. And I owe it to them to at least try to love God. I owe it to them to try to go the right direction. I want my kids to go God's direction. Now, whatever God's direction is for them, that's where I want them to go. Well, you know, I always wanted my son to be a lawyer. Listen, he got kicked out of kindergarten. He ain't going to be a lawyer. I want him to be a doctor. Everybody wants their child to be a doctor or a lawyer. Okay? Can I just tell you something? Most of our kids aren't going to get there, okay? You know what we ought to want for them? God's will. God's will. I just want God's will, whatever that is. Maybe God's will is for them to go be a missionary. That'd be great. Oh, but they won't make a lot of money. They'll be in God's will. God will take care of them. It'll all be fine. I don't think any of our staff members are starving to death. Okay? I don't think so. God takes care of everybody. Well, maybe God will call them to be a pastor someday and go start a church. Wouldn't that be exciting? Maybe God will call them someday to go help and work in a ministry. Maybe they'll be a teacher in a Christian school. Maybe they won't. Maybe God will call them to start a business, but they'll teach a Sunday school class, or they'll run a bus route, and they'll give to the church, they'll give to the building, and they'll love God and raise children that maybe those children will be missionaries and pastors. It's about God's will. But if I start going this direction, who knows what's going to happen? Let's be careful. And then he lost his standard. Look at the verse number 15. Now you would think that after all that was going on, that he would have got out of the city like hot foot. Okay, it's like, I'm out of here. I mean, if he was living there and liking it, after that whole drama with all the nonsense and the rape and all that, he might have said, you know, God probably needs to destroy this place, brethren. I can't get over that one. Verse 15. But when the morning arose, and then the angels hastened, Lot said, saying, arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here. He basically said, get out of here before you guys get burned up in the city. And look at verse 16. And while they lingered, they just stood around. They weren't leaving. I'm like, seriously? You didn't get the memo still? I mean, you knew that the angels pulled him out, saved his life, made everybody blind. He knew that this was the real deal, and yet he lingered. He was indecisive. You see, can I say, when you are serving God, you have to be decisive about some things. There are some things you're faced with, it's like, you know what? No, we're not doing that. We ain't doing it. No, I'm going to do this to be safe, like we mentioned this morning with temptation. You got to be decisive. But when you start changing the way, you're not decisive about anything. Do whatever. Just love Jesus. And dance half naked in the grass and listen to Led Zeppelin. It's all good. We have no spirit. We lose that. I mean, come on. The angel had to grab them by the hand and say, let's go. Kind of like when I'm leaving the house with my wife. Like, we got to go, babe. Okay? Don't make me sit in the car and honk the horn again. Let's get out of here. I like the Snakenbergs. You know, she gets to church before Brother Snakenberg. Where's my wife? Just kidding. We're indecisive. But we can't be indecisive when it comes to things that are right and wrong, can we? We got to be on target. And then the last thing is this. He lost his soul. I don't mean he went to hell. He was a righteous man. But look, in the verse in Peter says this. He said, and delivered just Lot, and he used this word twice, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, he saw and hear this garbage on a daily basis, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with unlawful deeds. The word vexed literally means tortured. He tortured himself. You see, he knew enough to know what was right, even if he didn't do it. And when he saw the garbage going around, and he was part of it, and he saw it going on, and he didn't have the spiritual fortitude to stand up to it, there was something inside of him that just polluted his soul and just caused misery. You see, you're going the right direction. Sometimes you start going the wrong direction, and things start happening, and you see things that are going wrong, and you've lost your spiritual fortitude to stand up and go the right direction, and you're still over here. It does something to you on the inside. Tortures you. Because deep down in your heart, you know it's not right. You see the garbage going on. You might even start to see it creeping in your family, and you don't get it. And you see the end results, and it just does something to you. You lose everything that God has for you. He paid an awful price. Lost everything. Doesn't sound like doing his own thing paid off. He wasn't living the life. He wasn't living life to the max. He's paying an awful price. What's the point? The point is, I'm just encouraging us tonight to be careful. That's all I'm encouraging you to do. You say, how do I know when I'm starting to change and go the wrong direction? You start letting up on the things that you used to do that you know you're supposed to do, the spiritual things. You used to come to all the church services, and you're here on Sunday night, so you for the most part you do, but now it's okay to miss a service or two. Oh no, you're never going to get out of church because you love the church. But let me say this, if you don't miss church one time, you'll never miss church all the time. It starts with one time. Now, if you're sick, I get it. Stay home. We don't want your germs. Amen? But it's like, oh, you know, it's I can, you know, okay. Maybe we don't, maybe some of you used to be interested, used to come out soul winning, and you go out and you pass out tracts, and you were here on Tuesday night, and you let up on that a little bit. Maybe that's the step you take before you start missing church services. We miss our Bible time. That's vital. Got to be in our Bibles. Say, you know, that's me. I've been missing. Here's what you do. Just get back in. It's not. Just do it. It's fine. Don't be discouraged by the fact that you missed. Be encouraged and say, that ain't happening anymore. I'm going to get back in it. Yeah. Sometimes it starts out because we get upset with something. You know that brother at the church, he did this. Can I just tell you something? I can tell you more stories. Because that brother was human. Now, he didn't mean it. He just having a bad day, and maybe he said something he shouldn't have said, and if you talk to him about it, he'd probably apologize, and he doesn't even know it bothers you. Well, you know, my little foo-foo in the nursery, I don't think that they changed their diaper 12 times. Potty trained that kid, by the way. He's 5. Just kidding. Okay. You know, some little thing comes in. If we're not careful, Satan uses that for us to get upset, whether it's with a relationship or something else. Maybe we suffered a defeat somewhere in our life. Maybe you're a newer Christian, and I remember I was a new Christian, man. I was serving God, Joseph, and it was exciting. And I had this motorcycle, and I went and I got all these Jesus stickers on it, and I was having a good time. And you know, man, I was serving God, reading my Bible. I was coming home from work one day, Brother Bichardo, and this kid started yelling at me, and the flesh came right back, Brother Pineda. I thought I wouldn't have taken that from him when I was. And so I motioned to him in a way that probably wasn't godly. You know, I waved to him, and I don't think all my fingers were up. 4 of them were hurting. And I think I yelled something out I shouldn't have yelled. I mean, I was already going to church, but I mean, I was for to flourish. It was early. And, you know, as soon as I did that, God just smote me and said, "What are you doing? That's the old Steve. We don't do that anymore. That's what you used to do when you hung around Dave Lucero. Don't do that anymore." Sorry, Dave. But you know what? I thought, he's right. I felt horrible. Well, initially, I felt good. But I mean, right afterwards, God's like, "That was not right." And I'm like, "Oh." You know, I said, "You know what, Lord, you're right. I ain't doing that ever again." And I didn't. Until I met my in-laws. Just kidding. Kidding. But see, you suffered a defeat in your life. You were doing good in you maybe messed up in this one little thing. Listen, don't let it be permanent. That's all. Just say, you know what? That was a blip on the radar screen. I'm gonna tell the Lord, I'm sorry, I'm gonna get over that. I ain't doing that anymore. Don't get discouraged. Why? Because going back that way is not good. You may struggle going that direction, but as long as you're going that direction, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. You lose a lot when you start to change. Let's not be like Lot. Let's take the warning tonight. Let's make sure we have the safeguards in our life and we do the right thing. Let's pray.